This morning I want our main text to be Jeremiah chapter 36. We will be using some other texts as well, but we'll be returning to there a couple of times throughout the lesson, and it will serve as the foundation for the lesson. You know, mankind often works on the assumption that they can find loopholes. I'm convinced that many people believe that when Judgment Day comes, that they're going to have a court-appointed lawyer, or that they can hire a lawyer, to find a loophole to get them out of God's law. That they'll present God's law in some way that God has never thought of, and God will say, well, I hadn't thought of that. Well, welcome into heaven. You got in on a technicality. Sometimes mankind works so hard to find a way out of just doing what God tells them to do, that it would actually be much simpler just to do what God told them to do to begin with. But are there loopholes? Are there ways to get around what God has told us to do? Some people claim that ignorance. Well, if I don't know what God's will is, how does He expect me to do His will? Well, then why would God even bother telling us to teach anybody? Wouldn't it be better to not teach anybody at all and then they can get in by default? So of course that doesn't make any sense. Some people say, well, if I get rid of it, then I'm not to be held accountable for it. Well, that's essentially what happens in Jeremiah 36. Here you have Jehoiakim, you know, the king in Judah, and he is given the word of God in Jeremiah 36. And what does he do? He physically does what a lot of people do. Metaphorically, I guess you could say. You know, he goes into what Jeremiah has presented him with, which is the word of God. Jeremiah acting as a prophet for the Lord. And he physically goes in and he cuts up the scroll. And then he burns them in a fire. Think about it this way. You know, if we kind of ignore the truth, if we act as though it just doesn't matter, does truth then become non-truth? So you take a physics book, and you go into it, and you find the chapter on gravity. And you cut out that chapter on gravity, and you burn it in a fire. Can you suddenly fly? Can you take a step off of a building, and all of a sudden the laws of gravity just don't exist anymore for you because you've done that? Well, obviously, the answer to that is no. It just doesn't make sense. Many believe that when it comes to God's law, that if we don't know about it, if we ignore it, if we cut it up and throw it into a fire as Jehoiakim did, you know, literally or metaphorically, then it just doesn't apply to us. But of course, that doesn't make any sense. Jeremiah 36, we're going to begin in verse 20 here. Excuse me. I hope you will bear with me. There are a few Old Testament names which everybody knows are rather difficult to pronounce sometimes. And they went to the king into the court, but they stored the scroll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the hearing of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to bring the scroll, and he took it from Elishama, the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the hearing of the king and in the hearing of all the princes who stood beside the king. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month with a fire burning on the hearth before him. And it happened when Jehudi had read three or four columns that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid. Nor did they tear their garments, the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan, Delilah, and Gemara implored the king not to burn the scroll, but he would not listen to them. And the king commanded Jerilmel, the king's son, Sariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdiel, to seize Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. They don't even get all of the words read before Jehoiakim becomes angry and cuts it up and casts it into the fire. Now, I think there's many modern day applications that we can make to this. You know, I have to admit that I've never seen anybody physically take a knife and cut passages out of the Bible that they didn't like. But I've seen a lot of people do it metaphorically. Meaning, if they don't like it, they just ignore it. Or they try to explain it away. That happens all the time. And if you think about Jehoiakim's impatience, I don't know how else to describe it. He doesn't even allow the whole scroll to be read before he is so angry that he cuts it up. Sometimes in discussions, whether in face-to-face or in the written word, we become so involved in waiting for the other person to be done with whatever they're going to say because we already know our answer for them. We already know what we're going to do, that we don't listen. We have no idea what they actually said because we didn't listen or we didn't carefully read what perhaps they have written. It seems to fit pretty well with what Jehoiakim does here, doesn't it? We don't listen to it. We don't want to hear the whole counsel of God. And so we cut it up and we throw it in the fire. What is sad is that even Jehoiakim's servants are not bothered by this. They don't look at this and say, "What are you doing? You're cutting up words from God." It's as though they shrug their shoulders and say, "Okay." It's kind of a scary thing to think about. Well, one way that people cut passages out of the Bible is simply by stopping their ears. Have you ever had somebody so mad at you that they physically put their hands over their ears and they stop listening to you? Well, I don't think everybody has to go quite that far to stop listening. Think about Acts chapter 7. There we have the example of Stephen. And as Stephen is teaching them, they physically stop their ears because they are so angry over what Stephen has to say to them. I think it's interesting that the message that Stephen presents in Acts chapter 7 is no worse than what Peter presented in Acts chapter 2. In fact, they're almost identical. A few words here and there change, but they're almost identical. The main thrust of the message is exactly the same. But for Stephen, they physically stop their ears up, they gnash their teeth at him, which is amazing to me. I cannot imagine somebody being that angry with me, that they are gnashing their teeth. People do similar things all the time, though. They just simply stop listening. They no longer want to hear the evidence that you may be presenting from the Bible. God said the Israelites often stopped their ears against what He commanded them to do. Turn to Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7. I think this is an interesting passage. We're going to read beginning in verse 1. Now here we have a passage that shows how well, God took care of the Israelite people. But notice what they do. Notice what they do. Now, in the fourth year of King Darius, it came to pass that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, Chislev. Then the people sent Sherezar with Regem-Melech and his men to the house of God to pray before the Lord, and asked the priests who were in the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, saying, "Should I weep in the fifth month and fast as I have done for so many years?" Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, "Say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and the seventh months during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me. When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? Should you not have obeyed the words of the Lord, which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous? And in the south, and the south, and the lowland, were inhabited. Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice. Show mercy and compassion everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. Then you get to verse 11, and he says, But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed, and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. And I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate. Think about what happens here. You know, we talk about what God has blessed them with, and yet they shrug their shoulders. You know, God says, here are some commands to follow. They shrug their shoulders. They stop up their ears not to hear Him because, you know, that's going to make an impact on what God does. God says, no, there are still consequences. There are still things that are going to happen. Here's the consequences for you ignoring what I have told you to do. Here's the consequences for not obeying God. Simply ignoring what God has to say does not change what God has said. It does not alter God's truth. What we find in the Bible is that we have to listen. The consequences will come if we disobey. And the rewards will come only if we listen and if we obey. Turn to Judges chapter 2. We've talked about some of these passages in our Wednesday evening Bible study. And I think they're applicable here. You know, we have this rather cyclical nature to the Old Testament Israel, where they would call out to the Lord and the Lord would save them. God would raise up a judge and they would obey God for the life of that judge. And then as soon as that judge died, they go back and do evil again. Verse 18 of Judges chapter 2, it says, And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with that judge, and was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead, that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers. By following their gods to serve them and bow down to them, they did not cease from their own doings nor from their own stubborn ways. Then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, Because this nation has transgressed my covenant which I have commanded their fathers and has not heeded my voice, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died. So that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hand of Joshua. Israel had to deal with stiff consequences because they did not heed the word of God. What we find in the Old Testament is, you know, sometimes people will look at the Old Testament and say, well, God is just so horrible in the Old Testament. And the God of the New Testament is loving. Well, the truth is, we see the Israelites testing God's patience over and over and over again. And even as this passage in Judges tells us, God was moved with pity. He took pity on them. He took mercy on them. And yet, over and over and over again, they would rebel against Him. And God would have to place consequences on that. Turn back to Zechariah chapter 1 for a moment. Zechariah chapter 1. Read a few verses here, beginning in verse 3. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. I like the repetition in this passage, by the way. Where does this word come from? You know, where is this message coming from? I'm pretty sure that it's coming from God, seeing as he says it, you know, three or four times here. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets preached, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds. But they did not hear me, nor heed me, says the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? Truly my words and my statutes, which I command my servants, the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers? So think about the consequences of what God is saying through Zechariah here. You know, here's the history of Israel. Here's why they're in their current plight. Because they did not heed the word of God. And he says, well, where are they now? They didn't listen. What happened to them? Look at the consequences of not listening to God, not obeying God. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning in verse 18, and we'll read down to verse 20. And I will pursue them with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence, and I will deliver them to trouble among all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, an astonishment, a hissing, and a reproach among all the nations where I have driven them, because they have not heeded my word, says the Lord, which I sent to them by my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, neither would you heed, says the Lord. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all of you of the captivity, whom I sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. You know, obviously we've been studying the context of Jeremiah in our Wednesday evening study, and how many generations decided to ignore the word of God, to ignore the coming destruction that had been so promised to them if they did not heed the word of God. It's amazing that all the passages that surround Jeremiah will even tell them, you know, how often God sent these prophets because God wanted them to listen. God wanted them to be saved from this, and they refused to hear it. Did their refusal to hear it alter in any way what God planned for them? Did it alter the consequences of not listening in any way? Because they just simply decided not to listen to it. You remember what we read in Zechariah chapter 7? They shrugged their shoulders and they stopped up their ears so that they could not hear him. Too often people today will do that in a sense. Where the Bible lays out a clear path to take, a clear doctrine, and no matter what they are presented with, they just won't listen to it because they already know what they want to do. When you get with Jehoiakim, I mean, you read the historical context, it says he's evil, did evil in the sight of the Lord, and so God punished him because of that. But he already had in mind what he wanted to do. And so, stopping the word of God, cutting it up and casting it into the fire, he thought he was going to get out of what God told him to do. What does God do in response to that? Turn back to Jeremiah 36. One thing we should keep in mind, does anybody ignoring the word of God, does that change what God's word actually is? Does that change the consequences? Does that even change what's offered to somebody else because one person decides, I don't want to believe it? Well, there's lots of people in this world that don't believe in God. There's lots of people that will even make fun of us because we believe in God. Does that change the fact that God does exist and that God has revealed His Word? If it weren't so serious, I would be amused at what happens with Jehoiakim. Because he casts it into the fire and he believes that he has overcome God. He believes that he has overwhelmed God. God can't do anything to him. What is God's response? Drop down to verse 27 in Jeremiah 36. Now after the king had burned the scroll with the words which Baruch had written at the instruction of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, take yet another scroll. And write on it the former words that were in the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, has burned. And he shall say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus says the Lord, you have burned this scroll, saying, why have you written in it that the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and cause man and beast to cease from here? Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have no one to sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out to the heat of the day and to the frost of the night. I will punish him, his family, and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring on them, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and on the men of Judah, all doom that I have pronounced against them. But they did not heed. Then Jeremiah took another scroll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote on it at the instruction of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And pause for a moment. Not only does Jehoiakim get back the words that he was originally given that he burned, but it says, and besides, there were added to them many similar words. All right, Jehoiakim, not only are you getting back what you burned in the fire, thinking that you had overcome God by doing, but you're getting more. I gave you that to help you avoid the consequences. You did not heed it, so now you're getting that prophecy, and you are getting the consequences. That's why I said it's almost, if it weren't so serious, it would be kind of amusing that God says, you're getting that back and more. Casting it into the fire did not alter anything. And it just made it worse for them. But it did not change what God had said the consequences would be. Many try to escape the consequences or think that they have somehow outwitted God because they would not hear His word. But we can see the scriptures teach us differently from that. If you think about it for a moment, you know, we talked about Jonah earlier too. You know, Jonah thought that running from God was an option. That would change what God had told him to do. And it didn't work out well for him. Ignoring what God tells us to do isn't going to work out well for us. We cannot outwit God. We cannot find loopholes in the scriptures. Sometimes I wonder why, if people would just put as much effort into just doing what God tells them to do and being righteous and following God's commands, they would probably be expending less effort than they do trying to find a way out of doing what God tells them to do. It's almost like the thief. You know, thieves will work 10 times as hard to steal something than they would if they just went to work and they got the same thing through hard work or through just the normal job. But they spend more time trying to get it dishonestly. Destroying God's word did not change God's message for Jehoiakim, and God required Jeremiah to rewrite it on another scroll and then added more to the message. You might say, how well did Jehoiakim's refusal work? How did it work out for him? I think all of these passages really stand to us as a warning that we need to be careful in our approach. While we may not get into the Bible and physically cut something out and throw it in the fire, we are kind of doing that when we choose to ignore passages or ignore evidence contrary to what we believe. If the Bible teaches us something different than what we already believe, then we need to alter what we believe to fit what the Bible teaches us. We have to be careful about that. I think we must constantly check our own attitudes when it comes to this. I think it's really easy to get caught up in something that we want to be true, to the point that nobody can approach us with any evidence to the contrary. I believe that's what happened with Jehoiakim. I believe Jehoiakim thought he was out of God's reach. I think he thought he was too powerful for God. And so he didn't want to hear what God had to say. Doesn't work that way. Shouldn't work that way. We need to listen to what God has to say. Perhaps I should counteract Jehoiakim's example with the example of Josiah. Josiah, when he hears the word of God, he's distraught because they had not been doing God's word up to that point. He's distraught by that. And he immediately begins to do exactly what he is told to do, even though he didn't know before then to do that. He had the same opportunity many people have today. Well, I didn't know I was supposed to do that, so I can't possibly be guilty of it. It's somebody else that he could have taken the approach of Saul. Well, it's somebody else's fault that this wasn't being done. You know, it's not my fault that my father and my grandfather were wicked. You know, it's not my fault. But Josiah takes, you know, a very personal approach and says, okay, this is what we're going to do because now we do know what God wants of us, and that's what we are going to do. And he lives that out. Jehoiakim is just not that way. Maybe it would be more like Josiah than Jehoiakim. These are just a few thoughts this morning. I hope these things are beneficial to us. I think reminding of ourselves of passages like this is what can help us remain on the straight and narrow and make sure that we are setting aside our own wants and desires when it comes to studying the Bible, to listening to God's Word, and allowing God to guide our thinking. That's the way to think about it. You know, do we allow our conclusions to guide how we see the Scriptures, or do we allow the Scriptures to guide how we conclude? And of course, we need to let the latter be the case. Thank you for your attention this morning.